am reading to you. It's a selection from the R family doing the reading. So the reading is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. And just look at Nick, that's on page 1052, there we go. 1052 of the Bibles in front of your seats. Jesus and the little children. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Felicity, do you want to come and speak into the mic there? Speak into the mic.
People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
We are going to need two volunteers. And we're going to think a little bit about the passage we have. But just think of those different responses. I'm going to say, as a rule of thumb, the children were enthusiastic. There were hands up. And when there was an opportunity to swap, there were lots of people that said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yes." I thought that was quite a good present. But when there was an opportunity to swap with Lawrence, nobody volunteered. There wasn't much enthusiasm from the adult body. But I wonder why that is. Well, my guess is that a lot of that's down to, when it comes to presents, when you're a child, you can't necessarily buy things yourselves. You might get a little bit of pocket money, but my guess is that those here, have you got enough money to be able to go and buy 60 drumstick bars all at once? Probably not. Whereas actually, when we earn some money, even if we're not that well off, we could probably go and get them ourselves. And it's a bit like that response we saw on the Operation Christmas Child video, that actually a reason for that enthusiasm was because they have so little. Before you get distracted, that's if you get distracted. So there's both a difference in enthusiasm, but there's also a trust, although, Katie, I have to say that you weren't very trusting. When I said it was a good present, actually, at that point, Lawrence was a little bit more trusting than you. Because normally at this point, I was expecting you to go, "Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic present, and it's going to be something," but I realised that normally presents are just simple sermon illustrations up here and not for you to keep and take. But it was a good present. I could be trusted. Normally, children trust us. Trust what they hear. And that ties in to the passage. If you've got your Bibles open, do look down to page 1052. If you haven't, please do turn to page 1052. It would be a great help. So just looking at those three verses we had read so well to us. So we're in Luke's Gospel, and we're on page 1052, verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Well, standard, surely. Imagine you booked your dream holiday. You are off to some exotic location. You're excited. The flight awaits. There you are, you're at the airport, at the boarding gate. You got your boarding passes. 10, E and F. Onto the plane, row 1, row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. And you look across at 10, A, B, and C, and there is a young family with a crying baby. Your heart sinks. You think, "Oh no, I've got to share this plane journey with the incessant crying of a tiny child." I know it happens. Because when we sit on a plane and somebody else comes down and sees they're sitting in a gents, you can see, "Oh no, we're sitting next to that one." Because really, you would choose not to. And the disciples are just like that. I mean, Jesus, he's a great teacher. He's doing wonderful things. I mean, Why? Crying babies. Go away. We need more important things. But look how it continues. Verse 16. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom of God. What's Jesus talking about? Well, he's literally talking about heaven. If you look in Matthew's gospel, Jesus, it's called the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it is having a place in God's eternal kingdom. In other words, it's being brought into a good and right relationship with him that we can enjoy all of his goodness in his kingdom. And Jesus says that that belongs to the children, including, I fear, the really annoying ones. Ones that run around or play with trains really noisily during the notices, Jack, or at the back and make lots of noise. Believe it or not, the kingdom of God belongs to people such as that. And that might be difficult for us to grasp, even as one starts wandering around at this precise moment. But the kingdom of God belongs to you, even when you're trying to chase them round the church, and it doesn't feel like it. But somehow, Jesus is saying we need to appreciate their enthusiasm, their joy for life, their childishness. But look, he continues, because this is where the big bit comes. Verse 17. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Hang on. Jesus is saying not only do we need to accept these annoying children, but we need to receive the kingdom of God like him. I'm beginning to get worried. We need to learn from them, not push them away. Well, how on earth are we going to be like a child? Well, let's look into this, receiving the kingdom of God. Firstly, why? Why are we able to receive the kingdom of God in the first place? How are we able to? Well, that goes back to God. God, in his immense love, sent Jesus so that by believing and trusting in him and his death, we can be forgiven and welcomed into his kingdom for eternity. You see, it's something that God has done. It's like receiving a gift, receiving the kingdom of God. It's not earning a place. It's not actually getting out my wallet and buying a place. It's being in a position whereby we acknowledge that it's only by what we can be given. Almost that childlikeness in wanting that present. That hunger for wanting that present, that rush on Christmas Day. Soon as 4 a.m., can I open my presents? I want them now! Because that's how children receive things. They can't just go and buy them. It's through presents. And we receive the kingdom of God by receiving a present, a gift from God. And isn't this the best present ever? I mean, I thought I was reasonably good and reasonably generous at going to get 60 drumstick bars, 60 refresher bars. Yeah, that I thought was a pretty good present. But I mean, on the scale of things, that compared to eternity with God, I mean, they're opposite ends of the spectrum, aren't they? There is no comparison. And just think back to the contrast that we saw a little bit earlier. Because children naturally get enthusiastic and excited. Well, we remembered that the reason was because they can't get it for themselves. Just like in that video clip we saw. Presents being given to those that are unable to get them in other circumstances. And therefore it does lead to that enthusiasm. But actually that's exactly the same as this gift. Because we can't get it ourselves. We can't earn that place in heaven. We can't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift. There was that trust, or Katie, you've ruined my point here. It's all right, it's okay. But normally, children have this utter trust in what they're told. And when you saw that it was a present, and I'm going to give it to you, and I gave it to you, you did trust me on that. Lawrence said he trusted me, but there was a definite hint of sarcasm. Oh, this is a good present. Uh-huh. But effectively, children have a trust. And that's what we need to do in trusting what God has done for us. And if we do that, if we acknowledge that we can't do anything and we trust God, well, that will bring about this enthusiasm, this excitement. Or will it, you say? I still don't feel that enthusiastic, that excited. Well, I think one of the reasons is because it's really easy to start trusting in ourselves. It's really easy to sit going, you know what? God must be quite pleased with me. I'm sitting here on church. Do you know what? I even brought two boxes and placed them up the front. That's good. God must be going, yeah, you're doing pretty well, pretty well. Do you know what? I actually attend the church prayer group or my workplace prayer group. Extra bonus point. And we're tempted, even subconsciously, to think like that. And God says that's great, but that doesn't help in getting that present. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn that gift. It's as if we are like the child with no pocket money whatsoever, totally dependent upon somebody else giving them something. And actually, we need to get our mind into that, because we live in an age where we just go out and buy something, we just go and get something. It's totally different. But then, we might know that, but then we've got to do something else with that knowledge. You see, I might know that this chair over here can hold my weight. This chair here, I might be able to say, look, it's a very strong chair, I know that. I could even give you a lecture, I could give you a 40-minute sermon on the engineering aspects and the reasons and the mathematical equations as to how the different components of this would hold my weight. It may be very convincing, but that's still just knowledge. I may even believe it. But what I need to do is I need to put those beliefs into action. I need to show that an actual trust in that chair, whereby instead of just thinking and instead of just talking to you, I do something about it and leap onto it and hopefully stay balanced enough that I'm putting my whole weight on the chair and just show you how much I trust the chair and then jump up and down there. I'm sorry, church wardens. I am now genuinely trusting this chair that it's holding my weight. And it's exactly the same with receiving that gift from God. I need to know that I'm helpless, but I need to put my whole trust in it. But you might say, okay, I'm there. I understand that I'm helpless and this is a gift. I know that I need to trust, but I still don't feel excited. Lawrence, I've got a question for you. Have you ever had a refresher bar in your life? You have. How long ago was it? A long time ago. Do you remember it being delicious when you had it many years ago? It was delicious, but you don't have them anymore. You've forgotten the goodness of the refresher bar. Once upon a time, you knew how lovely it was, how tasty it was. But your lack of excitement and your enthusiasm for distributing them to everybody else as quickly as possible is linked to the fact that you might have lost that yearning for the refresher bar. Katie, have you ever had a drumstick bar in your life? Are they yummy? Are you excited about having those drumstick bars? When was the last time you had a drumstick bar? Easter, not that long ago. You see, the thing is that with the gospel, we might have accepted it some time ago, and yes, almost parked it. But if there's something I really like, surely I'll have it this week, and next week, and next week, and I'll continue to love it. Lawrence, if you had been having your refreshers bar each year and reminding yourself of how good it was, I reckon you would have been more excited. You might have even been as excited as Katie. And Katie, I'll tell you what, if you had been lucky enough to have a drumstick bar every week, you would know, wow, 60 all in one go! This is amazing! And actually, that's it with receiving God's gift. If I simply accepted it and almost forget about that goodness, how incredible God's grace is, I'll have Lawrence's enthusiasm or lack of it. No, it's no criticism, Lawrence. It's a perfect example. But actually, I need to remind myself of how wonderful God's grace is on a daily basis. Because then I will be, not just know it, not just trust it, but I will be enthused and excited by that good news. Now, Lawrence, you did say one thing that you were going to do with your 60. You were going to share them out. This is great. Katie, have you got any plans for them? You going to eat them all?
No.
Share them with your brother?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Okay. The thing is you've got something good, you want to share it. We have goodness in terms of we have money. And we like to share it. And we do that exactly with this Operation Christmas Child. It's really good to do that. But if we realize that the gospel is something we need to receive, if we trust it and are excited by it, we will want to share it. And even if refresher bars were Lawrence's favorite sweet, if he knew how good they were, he would surely want to tell everyone else how good those refreshers are. If Katie had this hidden secret that drumstick bars were the best in the whole wide world, she might want to share it with others. And surely, if we know the gospel, if we have received the gospel, like a child, that childlike trust, that childlike enthusiasm, that childlike understanding that it's only what God gives us, there's nothing we can do, we will want to share it and take up Nick's challenge of praying for and inviting people, particularly in this lead up to Christmas. So my prayer is that we might all rediscover receiving the kingdom like a child. And so as we sit, let's just close in a prayer. Father, we do thank you that the gift of your kingdom is the most wonderful gift. It's a gift we don't deserve, and we can do nothing to achieve ourselves other than to trust you. Lord, we pray that any knowledge that we have may turn into a trust, a faith in you. Lord, we pray that you may refresh us with the amazement of what you have done for us, your love for us in sending Jesus. Lord, might we have that enthusiasm, that excitement that we see in children as we reflect upon the gift of the kingdom. And Lord, may we perhaps respond to that challenge of sharing it with others, those that perhaps haven't experienced your goodness and the goodness of your kingdom. Amen.